years since we've been able to travel in the natural, but spiritually and through our technology, we've been able to travel to many nations through Zoom or Messenger or whatever is available. And so we've been preaching the gospel regardless of how much we're shut down, right? And so I'm excited. We're excited to be here, be a part of this church. I was thinking that, you know, it's been a lot of years. We've traveled for 30 years, and we've seen so many changes all around the world. But we've also been married for 51 years. And, you know, when I was young, I was just a kid, barely out of diapers when we got married, you know, really just young, didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was thinking to myself, you know, when I said for better or worse, I didn't realize the better would be so good and the worse would be so bad. No, I'm telling you the truth. So careful what you vow when you get married. Because if you don't give up, you can make it through the difficult times, and when it's really good, it's really good. Hallelujah. And so we're excited to be with you, and thank you for showing up today. And for those who couldn't come and be a part of us, we extend our prayers to them that next Sunday they can be here, that they'll be healed, they'll be healthy, they'll be whole, they'll be able to participate in corporate worship and praise. Hallelujah. But you are here, ordained to be here for a reason. We want to talk a lot about get in the game. Don't be a spectator. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't just be a cheerleader. Get in the game. You know, and I'm going to talk a lot about football today. You know, the opposing team is always trying to stop us, keeping us from moving ahead, trying to steal our momentum, trying to put us down, trying to even cripple us at times, trying to stop us from reaching the goal that the Lord has prepared for us. Hallelujah. And they want you to lose. They want you to fumble the ball. The opposing team wants you to fumble the ball so they can have it. But, you know, when you get that ball, you have to hang on tight and don't let them rip it off. I mean, life, what I'm saying is very much the same. And the title to this message is today is, are you a player? And what team are you playing on? See, there's a goal before us. Hallelujah. And Paul had it really, really, had it down really good in Philippians 3, verses 12. I don't know if they're ready upstairs. He's there. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The next verse. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead. I press. There it is. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, take this scripture, all these scriptures, bring them into our heart. Give us hope and strength today in an unsure, unknown world, Lord, that you are Father, that you are God, that you are Jesus Christ to us, that you are the one who wants us to win and will help us win in the name of Jesus. See, there's a goal. There's a goal for us. And in the natural, they want to get to that touchdown. They want to kick that ball through those goal posts because it put points on their side. And today we need to get a lot of points on our side, amen? But the enemy says, no, you stay right there. Fact is, they want to push us back, but we must press on and press on. Even when we are taken down, we get back up again, we grab a hold of that ball and we continue on. Is that right? We don't stop because we're wounded. My wife and I have been going to our grandson's football game the other night. He got shook up a little bit. He made 3 touchdowns in the first half, and then he got beat up pretty good, and he had a little bit of light concussion, so they wouldn't let him play in the second half. But I know he's ready to go at it again Friday night. Hallelujah. He's not going to stop because of a little shakeup, a little few problems in his life. Hallelujah. And we as the Christian believers today, we must determine the same thing. We're not going to allow the enemy to stop us because we've been taken down or we've been pushed back, but we're going to press on because we want to score. There's a prize waiting for us. Hallelujah. There's a prize waiting for us, and that's the call of God for your life and mine. And I got to tell you that I'm here today because the Holy Spirit had me ask Pastor, can I be of assistance to you? But see, we make ourselves available, and guess what? God will use you. You may not stand here, but there's somebody over there that needs you. And young people, young adults, you have a call of God in your life. You're the same. Just because you're not as old and have gray hair like some of the rest of us do doesn't make you less effective. But you have a call of God to move forward and do the things that God has called you to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Phew, I'm going to have to keep moving. Thank you, Lord. See, the game is on and it's been on for a long time. What many of us don't realize that it's a game where when the final buzzer of the bell goes off, it isn't just that you're one or two or four or five or three or four, whatever, but it's for life or death. It's for heaven or it's for hell. And I'm not going to be real kind today in some of the words that I say because I'm preaching the truth of the gospel. The time we're living in today, I believe you cannot just be a spectator. You cannot just be a cheerleader. You cannot just sit in be a fan. You have to get into the game. Win or lose, you have to get into the game. But with Jesus on our side, we're winners. We've been promised that we win. Hallelujah. But really today, there's some of you today, you're not sure. You're not sure. You have to make a decision today. I encourage you, make a decision today. You know, when I was growing up, they always called people that weren't really solid into the Bible and studying the Bible and being faithful, they called us fence riders. And the reason was, you know, depending on what was there, you'd fall on their side of the fence or you'd fall on the other side of the fence. But we can't be fence riders anymore. This is a day we must make a decision to serve our Lord. Hallelujah. If not, I believe you can be deceived like anyone else out there in that world. No matter how strong your faith is, we say, oh, I have great faith, I'd never be deceived. Has your faith been tested? I know I've said it before, but have we really been put to the test? Are we real? What would happen if you lined up here and the enemy came in, he had a machine gun, he said, recant Christ or we're going to shoot you down. What would we do? Oh, we're strong. We would never, never turn our backs on Christ. But many of us, in the way that we live, on the way that we do things, we have already denied Christ. And the Lord is saying, now is the time to make a decision. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to be one of those who follows him through life or death. Hallelujah. See, we can't let up just a little bit because the first half looks great and looks like we've won. We have to continue on until the game is over. We can't back off. We have to stay strong. Hallelujah. You say, why? God's word tells us why. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13, starting out. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. What am I saying? I'm saying that the enemy comes into the church. We heard a little bit about weed and tares this week. We were at a ministers' conference all week, and we had some great teaching, and we were being filled up. But the one pastor got up and talked about the weeds and how we eat weed seeds instead of wheat seeds. Weed instead of wheat. It's really hard to distinguish the difference between a wheat and a weed seeds. They look alike. They're about the same size. There's a little different coloration. And we've been eating a lot of times in our churches, we've been eating the weeds instead of the wheat. Because, see, it's sown among the wheat. In fact, I was reading about the sowing. It was kind of a custom. If you had an enemy, you went into his field and you sowed the weeds. Back in the day, okay? It got so bad that the Romans had to pass a law that it was illegal to go to your neighbor's or your enemy's place and sow weeds. But see, the enemy, the devil, he doesn't stop because it's a law. He continues on. He continues sowing the tares where there's wheat so that you can't really tell what's going on until it comes into maturity. And the Lord says, you need to be mature enough that you can tell the difference even now as it's growing. Hallelujah. See, there's a battle that's raging. It's more than a game. Ephesians says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. What do we wrestle against? We wrestle against spiritual wickedness and powers and principalities that are so demonic and so evil that we can't understand. But he does tell us what to do. He says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to withstand. Stand firm against the strategies of the devil. See, when you go into a football game, you don't just put on your shorts and your t-shirt. You put on a lot of equipment, helmet, padding, all over, everything to protect themselves because they know they're going to get beat up. And if they don't, they're going to get hurt, maybe mortally wounded. But see, the Lord says, I'm on your side. There's great deception in our nation. There's great deception in the world. There's ministering spirits. Those ministering spirits that I read about have come into the church undetected, and they've taken away the shout of the church, the influence of the church in our world. They've caused us, you know, we can't even cheer for our winning team anymore because of the deception that's been brought in. We've been deceived, I believe, into complacency and laziness. Complacency is a feeling of quiet pleasure and security, often while unaware of potential danger. The enemy has put us to sleep, and oh, this is really great. What a great, wonderful service we're having. And our eyes are closed to the danger that the enemy has brought in, even in our midst. But it's all around the world. It's all around us. And we have to get in the game. We have to be a participant in what is going on. In Luke 21, verse 36. Therefore, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The New Living says, stay awake. Watch and pray. Stay awake. At all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all the things that are coming, that are going to take place. I don't like your preaching, Pastor. I don't like your preaching. That's really negative preaching. No, it's not. It's telling us to stay awake, to watch, to be alert. You don't ride a motorcycle down the highway unless you're watching where you're going and watching the oncoming cars. Brother Jim, you know, you have to really be careful when you're driving that, riding that motorcycle. Because a lot of times you're a smaller, they don't see you, cars don't see you, drivers don't see you. So you have to really be awake. We as a church, we have to be awake. We cannot sleep and slumber and say, oh, you know, I really feel pleasure and security where I'm at because nothing's going to happen. Verse 34 says in the New Living, watch out. Don't let your heart be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, verse 35, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Repeat with me, everyone living. Repeat with me, I'm alive. Wow. Where does that put it? Where does that put what's going to take place right where we are today? We're living, we're alive. And the Lord says to stay awake, to watch. Don't be dulled by the carousing and drunkenness and the pleasures and worries of this life. Stay awake, stay alert. So you too must keep watch. Ooh. For you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Matthew 24 and verse 42. So you too must keep watch or stay awake. For you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Jesus was telling them about his return. You know, if Brother Ross, if you knew there was a thief going to break in at 2 a.m. in the morning, you could go to sleep, set your alarm for 1:30, get up, get your 9mm ready, because you know when he's coming, right? That's really what the next verse says. It doesn't quite paraphrase it like that. But see, we don't know when Jesus is coming, so we can't go to sleep and set our alarm at 1:30 in the morning and say, okay, at 2 o'clock Jesus is coming, we're ready. No, we have to be ready and prepared now. Keep watch, stay awake, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. If you knew there was a thief coming, you know, if somebody was going to break in your house, you'd prepare yourself. You'd be ready, right? I want to go back to the subject of deception. In 1 John 4, verses 1 to 6. Hallelujah. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Brothers and sisters, it's right there. It's right there for us. Don't be deceived. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. The spirit of error is Satan. And the spirit of error comes after us to get us off of the main thing. So we need to keep watch, to stay awake. But we need to test the spirits. Try the spirits. Just because somebody says, oh, I'm this person, and I've done this, and I do this, we need to check them out, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we hear all kinds of things today. The problem isn't the Word of God or the truth of God's Word. The problem is in us, because we have a sinful nature for one reason, but also because of the teachers and the preachers and the spiritual leaders who are saying it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I know it was in the Bible, but we're in a new culture now. And the truth of the Word, you know, we kind of water down the truth. If sin was sin when you were a child 70, 80 years ago or 20 years ago, if sin was sin then, isn't it a sin today? Has God's Word changed? The Hebrews 13 and 8 says, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we stand upon that. So the next verse talks about being tossed to and fro. And and being moved from the truth of God's word. We need to know what the word of God says. We need to stand upon that word, be strong in that word, and not allow the culture to shift us off of the truth. But, oh, hallelujah, you guys are really quiet. You're not helping me preach today. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want some reaction here. You know, you can say hallelujah, ouch, or oh me, or praise the Lord, or whatever, you know. Hallelujah. So how do we know the truth? Because everything is being spoken out there. Well, we just read 1 John 4, 1 through 6. You know, but people are saying things like, you won't die, you might be sick, but you're going to be okay. Just do this, do that. You know, and the list goes so far beyond what we understand, but they're speaking lies when the truth says exactly the opposite. So how do we know the truth? By being spiritually awake. How do we know the truth? By understanding the truth that's in the Word of God. How do we know the truth? By keeping our eyes open and not allowing the enemy to come in and deceive us through vain words or repetition, it says. The Holy Spirit tells us the truth. We want to read it. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The verse before that, Jesus said, I have so much to tell you, but it's so much you can't understand at all. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to bring revelation to you. He's going to teach you things. He's going to show you things to come, because it's going to come right from where? The throne of God for you. That's how we can keep from being deceived, is that we hear the voice of the Lord speak to us through the Holy Spirit so that we can be on track, so that deception is cut off. There's two teams, two sides, fighting to win. Whose team are you playing on? Somebody said something about putting on a jersey. Whose jersey do you wear? You know, most of our news, I have to skip. I'm going to skip some pages. But our liberal news media today, full of lies and deception. They don't like the born-again believer. They call us radical Christians. They call us dangerous. I'm glad they think that we're radical and dangerous. But Jesus said something like, I didn't come to bring you peace on earth. Not to bring peace, but a sword. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that teaching. I'd like to tell you that all is well and that we're living in a day when people are going to be so happy and so joyful and so blessed with no problems and no sickness and no diseases and all is well, but I can't. But all can be well. I want to come back, okay? If we have our life secured in Jesus Christ, we have our faith founded in him and what the word teaches. We can be well because the promises of God here are for us. There's a promise of eternal life for you. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The Son of Man, Son of God, came on this earth, Jesus Christ, so that we could, oh, hallelujah, we could take a hold of what he's done for us on the cross. Jesus is coming for his bride. Hallelujah. The ones that have their lamps full and have their wicks trimmed. Oh, hallelujah. Their lights are shining bright. They're watching and waiting. Jesus is coming for his bride. Hallelujah. How do we do this? How do we become a player on the team? Show up to be counted. Show up for practice. Pay attention to the coach's instructions. Follow those that are there to help you win. You know, the quarterback has the plays because he listens to the coach, and the coach has the plays because he studied them and he watched hours and hours of live video, and he's had experience trying them out, and so now he's bringing them to you and he's teaching them to you so that you can win. If you want to win, that I'm not repeating that because can't go on to the next thing, but if you want to win, then you have to join the winning team. Hallelujah. How about them Hawks? Hallelujah. We have to join the winning team. But see, God teaches us that in His Word that there are regular patterns of spiritual discipline that we need to be a part of. If you want to win, then you must come into a place where you can be taught. You must come into a place where you learn new things. You must come into a place of obedience. But there's five things. Real simple. Prayer, where we communicate with the throne room of God. It's two-way conversation. Hallelujah. The second is reading and meditating on God's Word. You have to know the truth to be able to defend the deception. Personal and corporate worship. This is where we hear God speak. It opens up our spirit so God can speak to us. Number four, fasting. And I don't like it. Be humble. We have to cut our flesh. And you know, when we are humble before the Lord and we cut our desires and our flesh, God, it opens the door for God to speak, God to do miracles. And then the fifth one is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it empowers you. What did Jesus say in Acts 1:8? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere. There's a power, there's a witness, and there's talking. We do those three things. We are anointed with power from on high by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus put together a winning team. Hallelujah. He called 12 disciples to be a part of that team, and he called them into training. Now, on regular football fields, there are 11 on the opposing side and 11 on the defensive side. And I guess some smaller schools, they only have 8, so cover myself there. But he had a quarterback, and I called him John. He had someone who could run, and I called him Peter. He had someone who could count, and that was Matthew. And he had a whole lot that were willing to learn and to line up against the opposition. One disqualified himself, so he only had 11. But Jesus empowered them to win. In Matthew 10:1, he gave them power. He brought the 12 disciples together. He gave them power, it says, over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, he did the same thing. It's just a repeat. He brought his 12 disciples. He had trained them. He had worked with them. And then he said, now I give you power, hallelujah, to go out there and win, to go out there and set people free, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, heal diseases. I give you that power to be a part of the game. We have to come to Jesus. You can't be on the winning side without Jesus. You're here today and you're not a part of Jesus. According to God's word, you're not going to win when the final buzzer goes off. We have to come into His presence. We have to learn from Him. We have to submit to His authority, learn from His experience, and thus become empowered to win against the opposing team. See, there's a spiritual awakeness in John, 1 John 2 and 20. It talks about an unction or an anointing that we receive so that we have an understanding. We are not like those who follow the Antichrist because we have an unction or an anointing from the Holy Spirit and we know the truth. There's a spirit of error. There's a spirit of error alive. And this word unction and anointing means like charisma, something that's smeared on like an oil. I tell you what, we need to be covered in oil. We need to smear on that anointing on our lives so that we can see clearly, so that we can have 20/20 vision in this time. You know, it's through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that all the gifts flow into the body of Christ. It's out of this anointing and understanding that the grace of God flows throughout the world. We need that anointing. Hallelujah. Church, we need that anointing. So where are the gifts in the church, the universal church, all of the denominations around us? Where are the gifts? Quiet. We don't want to disturb. Most churches today, even the ones that were birthed in the Pentecostal movement, don't allow the gifts of tongues and interpretation and prophecy to flow in their morning, especially their morning services, because it might scare away rich people like Ross and Nancy and others, you know. Sorry, he's my friend. I got to use him as an example. But we have to be careful because those who give big checks and help support the work of God may be offended by tongues and interpretation that come from the throne of God. What's wrong with the church? They've been deceived. They've been shut down. They're closed off to the truth of God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. There are two ways. The one is the easy way. The one is the one everybody's going on. Guess what? Their team's not winning. Oh, hallelujah. I got to continue on. Do you know which team you're a part of? Question I'm throwing at you today. The popular one or the one that's not so popular that's going to win. Hallelujah. You know, it's just because it feels good and looks good and it's popular doesn't make it right. You know, Shirley and I live in Kelowna, Iowa. Very religious, very, very religious area. We have the Amish and lots of Mennonite churches and many other churches. And many of those people go to church every Sunday and they listen to the preaching, they give in the tithes, offerings. They pray, they will tell you they're born again. But you'll also see them going over to the casino. And when it's tequila night, Tuesday night, they're at the Mexican restaurant drinking tequila. If you do those things, are you going to go to hell? I don't know. God judges the heart, but it sure puts a damper on your testimony. Sure puts a damper on what you say about the Lord Jesus and his saving grace. The spirit of error is alive in the church. The spirit of error is alive in our world. The Antichrist spirit is alive. That's why I'm warning you today that we cannot sleep, we cannot slumber. And that spirit of error, because it is out there, we need to guard our heart. Otherwise, we can easily be offended. I want you to listen to me very carefully. The more we're offended, the more we become bound up. The more offenses, the more disappointments that we hang on to. They choke out the truth, and it allows bitterness to grow. You know, we get offended sometimes over the dumbest, littlest things. really immature things. And I think the young people do that, but the good thing about the young people is they forgive quick too, you know. But we as adults, we get offended. We hang on that for 20, 30 years. I ain't going to talk to that person because they offended me 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And we hang on to these offenses and they become bitterness in our life, and it chokes out the Word of God. It chokes out the truth. And it allows the spirit of error to be a part of who we are. And God says, no, you need to drop that. You need to get rid of that. Brent, will you come? Will the worship team come? Hallelujah. I believe as believers today, we must stand against the lies. We must stand against the belief system that says love, 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 grace, grace, grace. Everyone's going to heaven. There is a heaven. Yes, hallelujah. And there is a hell. Are we going to heaven today? Are you going to heaven today if you would die? You can make that assurance today by confessing your sins. You know, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. If we come to the Lord and confess our sins before the Lord and make Him Lord of our life and live a life in holiness and purity, when that trumpet sounds, hallelujah, when that bell buzzers, rings at the end of the game, we just got to pray that we've lived a life that's pleasing to God. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Hallelujah. You know, there's a great judgment day coming, and that day really is here now. But there's a great white throne judgment in the end, where Christ is coming on a white horse. I want to read that in Revelation chapter 19, 17 to 21. I want you to hear and understand what that says. It says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who works signs and wonders and miracles, it isn't in there, in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. That sounds really terrible. Now, we as the church are going to be raptured out before all that happens. But if you don't know which team you're playing on, you could be left. You could be deceived. It sounds terrible. I know I really like preaching this hard. But there's a judgment here. There's a judgment coming. It's already upon us. And the question I have for you, are you ready for that judgment? Are you ready this morning? Are you in the right game? Are you playing on the right side? Are you playing on the winning one? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. You can answer that. My brother with the orange shirt beside Mariah, the Lord has his hand all over you. I saw it in the spirit that he was going to do a new work in your life, and that there's going to be such a hunger come forth from you, from your spirit, that hallelujah, it's not by accident you're married to Mariah, because her father has a mantle of, and her mother have mantles on them of ministry, and so now it's falling on you, and there's going to be something that's stirring in you, and you're going to say, I've never had this feeling before, but the Lord is doing a mighty work, hallelujah, in your life, and there's going to be such a hunger come forth, hallelujah, such a hunger come forth. Lisa, the Lord says, not only did you stand here and worship me every day, but the Lord says, you've come many miles to come to this place so I could tell you that the future you have is so much better than the one that was back there, that I will use you in the days, the days to come, and the desires that you have will be opened up to you, says the Lord. No man will stop you. Hallelujah. God is doing a work. Hallelujah. God is moving by his power. See, there's some of you, we've sat back, brother, with a green and a plaid shirt back here. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I saw you. I know where you're going. I know what's going on. He said, I have a new life that's going to bring joy and peace in an area that you've thought was cut off. And the Lord says, I'm opening that door for you that tomorrow, hear that word, tomorrow, things are going to begin to change. Hallelujah. All you have to do is make sure you're on the winning team and you got the ball ready to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you in the right game? Let's stand together as we worship the Lord in closing. I want to challenge you. If you're here this morning, and you say, I don't know. I've been, riding the fence because I didn't know which way I was going to go, depending on how the popular move was. I was going to join that one. The Lord is asking you to take a stand today. He's asking you to step out and make sure that you join the right team. Make sure that you're part of God's end time work. Make sure that your sins are washed away. Make sure that you stand pure before the Lord, that you determine to make him Lord of lords and King of kings of your life. If you haven't done that and you'd like to do that this morning, we want to give you opportunity to do that. I want you to raise your hands and we're going to pray with you. If that's you and you say, I need to give all that I have to the Lord and I want to be used by him. We see those hands. There's hands all over. Hallelujah. We're going to pray and we're going to believe that a miracle is coming. We believe that God's going to touch your life, that God's going to do something new in your life. We believe that there's a work that's going to be opened up for you that you never thought was possible. We're going to believe that there's a new and refreshing wind coming from the presence of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit is going to move strongly into the place you live and strongly into the work that you do for the Lord. And there's going to be a new movement. Hallelujah. Ooh, a new movement into his presence. Hallelujah. Father, right now, those who have raised their hands, all of us in this place, Lord, need a fresh touch. We need to be renewed. We come before you. We say, forgive us of our sins. Wash us. Make us clean. Make us whole. We want to make you Lord of lords and King of kings of our life. We want to have our lamps full and ready and burning bright so that we won't miss us, Lord. We thank you. We ask you to send help to all of those, all of us here, that there will be a new move in their life, that there will be a new anointing in their life, a new touch in their life, Lord, that they will know that you are who you say you are. The Lord bless you, Brother Brent.
Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Church live.